Now, an educationist said, and he made me to laugh, and this was on TV, that the reason why an African child at school was being caned on the back is because the brain of an African child is on the back. If you don't cane his buttocks, he will not listen. So when you cane his buttocks, his brain would open. And that means African child is not easy to understand. So the brain does work slow. So that's why the government sat down and said, if we don't come up with something like an emergency, like a transformative agenda in the curriculum system, an affirmative action, then we will remain to be where we are. And we could even get to worse, because the system is informative. It is so broad. You find a Kenyan child goes to primary school for 8 years only to sit for a 5-subject examination at class 8. And you realize when he graduates to high school, he will be given about 15 subjects to do, only to end up at fourth year in the high school secondary to sit for 7 subjects. So imagine how many were dropped, 8 subjects were dropped along the way, only to sit 7 at the end of his high school, secondary school. And this is where the problem is coming from. This particular student comes out green. It's like he never went to school. He can't even manage his own finances. He can't even create something to do to earn a living. Mm-hmm. The only thing they can do is to monopolize. For example, the piki-piki. If you travel across Kisumu, you will realize there is about 100,000 to 200,000 piki-pikis. That is the easiest everybody can do. Now, if tomorrow piki-piki business comes down, everybody goes back to zero. If you walk along Kisumu streets, you will find people doing same business, selling clothes on stalls.
Yeah. So there's that diversity thing happening.
Diversity thing.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah, and you know something too, and I don't know if we're still on the same wavelength or not, but I remember when I was talking to some of the girls at the school in Owosso, I asked them what they wanted to do when they finished school, and they said, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be an accountant, I want to be a bank manager. And I said to them, what about an electrician? What about a plumber? What about somebody that works in the lumber industry? You know, typically not women's jobs, but certainly doable if they had to.
Yeah.
And we forget about the trades. We forget about the things that require ideas and creation, you know. And I see it. It's so typical.
Typical. The irony today, you'll find that diversity. The jobs which were perceived to be men, even today women are getting into, like masonry, carpentry, plumber. If you walk in this estate, you will realize even women today are entering masonry. Why?
Yes, I've seen many women working on the roads here.
Because of diversity. Yeah. Everybody wants to get something. And that's why the curriculum today, if you could go through it, it is being still worked on, because there were issues which were still bringing a lot of queries. And I went through it and I said, this system, if it is adapted and it's still working, then by the end we will realize our children coming out and starting their jobs personally, becoming entrepreneurs. Because it will have a little theory, it will have a little practical, it will have field work, it will have a discovery of who you are, building that all-rounded student. So if you realize by the time you're going to junior secondary and you're good in this particular sport or this particular talent, that's where your attention is being driven. And when that is being done, we will have students graduating at the university when they're innovative. So it is so good. And the scholars were trying to reason that the system is so expensive. It will be expensive when it is being started. But when the process is in and running, it will be cheap.
And hopefully the end result is you'll have more people that are
employed.
Business will be initiated.
Absolutely.
And more taxes for the economy.
For the economy, and there will be no manipulation, monopolization. Because
that's the end goal, right?
End goal. Because you will not realize, you will not get 100 people on one street doing similar business. You will always find one shop doing this business, another one different, and another one different. And that one will create a job market.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You know what, Moses? I'm going to have to cut us short here now. We're well over our 30-minute mark. I think we're into an hour now. I really thoroughly enjoyed talking to you, and I think when I come back, we'll have to do this all over again.
Absolutely.
But I got one question for you, and I know we were talking about the African-Western disconnect, and of course, there's many people in the West, such as Canada, where I'm from, that really have no clue what's going on here.
Absolutely.
And I know we've talked about a lot of negative things, but there's certainly a lot of positive things that are going on in Kenya, going on in Africa, and a lot of the myths that we assume are certainly not realities.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if you could maybe share a couple of things with people back home in Salmon Arm in British Columbia and Canada about what's really going on here in regards to where we live, because it's such a beautiful area. I mean, we're right on the second largest lake in the world, in Lake Victoria. You know, the fishing economy is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Entrepreneurship, when we talk about it, skills training, that's all starting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Kenya as a whole is doing very, very well as a nation. And no, we don't live in a desert.
No.
And no, we don't live in a rainforest.
No.
But Kenya is incredibly a diverse landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And no, we don't have animals running through the township. But what else do you want to add to that?
Thank you, Kathy. I want to say that to the listeners, Kenya is a very beautiful land, a safe haven. Animals are not walking everywhere. We have areas where animals have been caged. Nairobi National Park is a very beautiful place whereby each and everybody across the world will always want to visit, because it's a park within the city.
Mm.
And I want to tell the world outside there that Kenya is beautiful. Come and see Mount Kenya. You see the snow peak on top of Mount Kenya. And Mount Kenya is very significant with the history of our independence. That's where the flag of this nation was first hoisted. And it's there to date. We have Masai Mara. You come and see the Masai Mara, the Masai people. They are amazing. They are loving. They are joyous. They can jump 5 feet high in the sky.
I'm gonna add something to that, because you know what, Moses? That's a tourist thing.
Yes.
The majority of Maasai that I have met wear regular street clothes.
Absolutely today. Absolutely.
Right? When you go to the Maasai Mara and you go to a safari camp, you're going to see traditional clothing. You're going to see the big long spears. You're going to be seeing them doing their traditional dance. And that's all great and lovely. But they actually live in the 21st century. Cell phones reign supreme.
Yes.
Satellite TV in the cities. You know, technology is bursting here, you know.
Yeah.
And we sometimes forget about that.
Yeah.
Africa is seen as a poor nation.
Mm-hmm.
We feel sorry for people. You know, we don't need to feel sorry for Africa.
Mm.
We don't need to feel sorry for Kenyans because they are innovative.
Mm.
They are creative.
Mm.
And I remember one lady, and actually a journalist, I won't say who it was or who it is, who believed that the majority of Africans were lazy people. And when I came here for the first time, that is not the truth at all.
No.
Very, very hardworking.
Mm-hmm.
Very hardworking.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got to walk your kilometer or 10 kilometers to go to school, and you got to walk your 1 or 5 kilometers to go get water, and you've got to put food on the table for your 5 kids or your 2 kids or whatever the case may be, laziness does not describe it.
No.
People are educated in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
They want to work.
Mm-hmm.
They want to move forward with their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything Kathy has said is true. Kenya is a land of diversity. And I want to say to anyone who will be hearing my voice, come to Kenya, see with your eyes. Every myth about Africa, about Kenya, are all false. And I just say, all those myths are just the conspiracy I was talking about in the forum, to exclude Africa and exclude Kenya from the connection of the world. Come and see, we have beautiful roads. More roads are still under construction. We have highways, we have flyovers. We have 5-star hotels. And I tell you, if you visit some of our hotels, you will feel like you are back at home. Everyone here is friendly. I tell you, everywhere you will walk, everybody will tell you, welcome, welcome, welcome. So don't fear coming to Kenya. We are not black. We have brown people. We have white people. We have Asians. Everybody is
it's
here.
It's very multicultural.
Multicultural. Come and just see with your eyes. So everyone is rich. You will find some people who are damp rich, driving very big vehicles, you see. We have beautiful healthcare. Don't be afraid if you're bitten with a mosquito, you'll die. You will not die.
I have to say, I did get malaria when I was here in 2014.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I was cared for very, very well. I was in the hospital the last time I was here, and you walk into the hospitals, they're first class, they're clean, and everybody is so wonderful. Mm. You know, there's the good, the bad, and ugly in every country you go to.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to leave it there, Moses.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in to 93.7 Voice of the Shuswap and Global South. Of note, Kisumu, Kenya is home to the official opposition leader, Raila Odinga. I'd like to bring you up to speed on the general current political situation since the election in August 2017. Currently, Uhuru Kenyatta was re-elected for a second term in August 2017's general election, winning 54% of the popular vote. The win was formally declared on national television by the chairman of the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission. However, Uhuru's election was successfully challenged in the Supreme Court of Kenya by his main competitor, opposition leader Raila Odinga. On the 1st of September 2017, the court declared the election invalid due to illegalities and irregularities. A subsequent fresh election ordered by the court was, however, won again by Uhuru Kenyatta when Raila declined to participate, citing inadequate reforms to enable a fair process in the repeat poll. Uhuru won with 39% participation due to voter fatigue and voter apathy.